Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of the Roundtable Podcast. I'm your boy, Double B Babblet, the franchise player, joined once again by my boy, Tony DeBurn, here to the right here. Tony, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
Oh, man, I'm just blessed to be here today. It's been a long day, man. It's been a long day. one that has been very interesting, to say the least.
Note before we get started, looks like Facebook is having some issues here tonight, so it's not isolated to whatever you were trying to do before we were starting the show. It appears to be affecting everything.
Oh wow, yeah, it looks like Facebook is taking a huge crap. That's okay, that is all right, ladies and gentlemen, because we're still gonna
it looks like we do have viewers on Facebook, so
yeah, We're still going to just roll with it, man. We're going to roll with it, ladies and gentlemen. It looks like we got a few viewers on there. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to roll with it, like I said. So it's my honor and privilege, ladies and gentlemen, to bring on a man who has been around the industry for God. I mean, I've been wrestling 28 years, and this guy was running shows before I started my career. He's been everywhere, WWE referees, he's trained mega stars. He's done it all in professional wrestling. Ladies and gentlemen, let's bring into the round table Jesse Hernandez. Jesse, welcome to the round table, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. A pleasure to be here, Bad Blood and Tony.
Thank you.
Great.
So Jesse, tell us what has been going on down there in California with the Empire Wrestling Federation and just you in general.
Well, you know, for example, we can't be running any shows. We're not, due to the COVID-19 deal, I haven't run a show since it all started, this whole mess.
Welcome and to the club.
Yeah, I did shut the school down for a little while, you know, and then then I reopened. I do have it open, and we're keeping it very safe environment at the school. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of training and everything. And then recently I started a YouTube channel specifically for those that EWF wrestlers that want to help out with the young students, guys that are coming up, guys are having their very first match, you know, semi-professional, because it's you know, we're putting it out on YouTube. These guys, the young students are just having their first matches, and some of them are coming along so well, man. I'm so proud of them. And more so, I'm proud of the guys that are helping them. Ty Ray, guys, you know, that have already had matches. Great young talent himself, you know. He had a number of EWF matches before we shut down. And these guys are really helping out. We got the Mexi Machos. I don't know if you guys, but they're fun to watch. And all these guys are helping the young students come along. So I'm very
proud. We had Ty Ray at BCW I think a few months before we shut down, as a matter of fact, and he was exceptional. So we'd be happy to have him back.
Absolutely. He's great. And we got, you know, guys like Honest John. These guys are incredible. But I'll tell you, I am so proud of the younger guys. I mean, we had a guy that I don't know how long it was going to, you know, I mean, he's been training for quite some time. But he wasn't getting anywhere, you know. In other words, man. But due to what we're doing with our YouTube channel, we took a chance with him, and you know what? He's doing much, much better in matches that are, you know, that are being filmed than a regular workout match. You know, he just came a long ways. I'm very, very proud of him. And
I think sometimes it's the fact that they're out there, and that they're out there performing, you know. Not so much a practice match, because I mean, we've all done that. Yeah, I think that he's out there and he feels he has something to prove to you. And since he's out there doing it, like, he's trying to make you proud. Like, we all did that, you know. I mean, I remember wrestling for you, doing shows at Lytle Creek and doing shows out there and at the you know, the, what was it, like a Cystic Fibrosis Foundation?
Yes.
And we wanted to have the best matches possible because we wanted to make you proud for having us there.
No, but I'm very happy with what we're doing at the moment with the school and everything else, man. Very proud.
Well, like I said, you've done a lot for a lot of people in the industry. I mean, the who's who of like professional wrestling has gone through that EWF school at Hard Knocks, man. Why don't you list off a couple people that you've helped along the way?
Well, you know, there's Frankie Kazarian. He went all the way to Boston to find out that there was a school here in lived, you know. And so he, after spending a month over there, he came back to California and he joined up at the School of Hard Knocks. And he, you know, right, we had the Empire Wrestling Federation going at the time. Chris Daniels had been training. Well, he had trained in Chicago, and he came by. Well, when he came to California, that's the first place he went to. And you know what? He was so helpful, and really helping with the younger guys at the time. He made such a great impact with us, you know, with Bill Anderson and myself when we were together. He trained. Came out and trained on a Saturday, and we had a show the very next day. Well, we put him on that show.
Yeah,
he was humble in the sense, hey, you know, if you need me tomorrow, I'll be glad to put any guy over, you know, whoever you want, you know. With that attitude, I said, well, let's use him, you know. And my God, so many. Rocky Romero started with us, Ricky yes. Ray. Jesus Christ, so many, man, so many.
The Cubanitos, yeah. And look at Rocky now. He's pretty much running New Japan.
Pretty much, yeah.
They gave him the name Rocky Romero and Ricky Ray. Is that, you know, they were small. They were, you know, they were very small guys at the time, you know. And I thought, man, you guys look, you remind me of a couple little Cubanito cigars.
That's so funny. Like, I seen him a few months ago, and he still looks the same. Like, he still looks like a skinny little kid, but he just has like a beard now. You know?
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Such memories with some of these guys. And so many. I mean, you know, Luis Piccoli started with Bill Anderson, and, you know, and then we joined the school together, and he trained with us. You know, he's such a man. What an incredible wrestler he was. And from what I understand, is today's his birthday, you know. So
yeah,
happy
it
heaven.
Actually is.
50 years old would have been.
You know what's funny? I would go to Gil's Garage in East LA and train, and Bill Anderson and Tim Patterson and Spicoli would be there training us and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I would take a bus from San Pedro, California to East LA, like Whittier area, right? We're talking like 3 hours on a bus. Mm-hmm. And I did it for like 2 years. And then one day Spicoli goes, hey, man, don't you live in San Pedro? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, I see you all the time. Yeah. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? He's like, I live in San Pedro too. I'm like, you could have been giving me a ride all this time.
No. So many guys have come through the school. I mean, Charles Wright, Papa Chango, you know, you know, he came to our school after he had been training. He trained at the Monster Factory from what I hear. And he said, man, I wish I had known about this school, man. But every time he was ready to go back to WWE for under a certain character or another, he would come by for weeks out here and train with us, with Bill and I, you know, just to get ready for, you know, get that rust off of him to go back to WWF or at the time. And as a matter of fact, remember when he did that match in Spain, I believe? I think he got like quite a bit of money for that.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Before he went to Spain, he called me up and asked if he could come out to the school and train with me on a Sunday. It was Mother's Day of that same year. And he came out, him and RVD came out, and I had Ryan Taylor, you know, to help out, you know, to take the bumps for him and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's talking about current NXT star. What was his name on NXT right now, Tony?
Tyler Rust.
Tyler Rust is also a product of Jesse Hernandez.
Absolutely. I'm so proud of him, too. He's doing so well out there. From what he tells me and what I hear from other people, he's doing just extremely well. But,
I think we should call Jesse the Trainer to the Stars.
Oh, my God. DJ Perkins, another one. Oh, the list goes on and on. Rico Costantino. Rico.
Oh, yes.
Forgot about Rico.
I was a fan of American Gladiators. I definitely remember Rico.
Yeah. Amazing Kong. Awesome Kong.
Kia. That's right. You know, it's funny. I met her at EWF, and then LTP and I went to Japan, and she was there.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I trained her for the Discovery Channel. She was a contestant for to lose weight, her and some other people. And the producers approached me and said, hey, can you give her 11? She loves wrestling and we want to surprise her. Can you give her at least 11 workouts and put her on a show? Wow. I said, hell yeah. Well, I put her on I trained her. She loved the training. And I put her in a match against a guy we call Vision. I don't know if you remember Vision.
I remember Vision. He wore the glasses all the time. Had the mullet and everything.
Yeah, and she did good, you know, and she stayed on. After, you know, the 11 workouts, she stayed with me. And a month later, they were having tryouts over at the dojo in Santa Monica, New Japan, I guess.
And New Japan, Inoki Dojo.
Yeah, the Inoki Dojo in Santa Monica. And they had some promotion, some promoters that were coming out to check out women. And so I sent her for that. They wanted to have her go out and see how she do, and they hired her. That's how she wound up in Japan, and she did very well. Very well.
But people don't like, and that happens a lot. Like the New Japan Dojo in LA. Like I lived in a dojo when it was, I lived in the Santa Monica Dojo when they were doing the NWA shows there. Yeah. That's when like Adam Pearce was wrestling there all the time. TJ was there all the time. Right. And then we moved the dojo to, I want to say East LA, almost East LA.
Yeah.
And I can't remember that. It was like off of Florence.
Well, the Inoki Dojo, I think it's a different dojo than what the one in Santa Monica that was run, that was owned by Antonio Inoki.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Inoki's daughter.
Hiroko and Durango.
Durango, huh? Yeah. Totally different, you know, than what it used to be in Santa Monica.
Yeah, it totally changed everything about it. It was an experience. I'll tell you that it was an experience. So not only have you like trained like 90% of the top guys in California, and now, I mean, you train 90% of the top guys and you've had pretty much everyone that worked professional wrestling in the state of California worked for EWF at one time.
I can't take credit for all of them.
I mean,
vast majority.
We can be honest. Like I would say 85% of the people that have worked in California worked for EWF at one time. And you know, I mean, like God, man, it was so many people. Melina, you know, she was there for a while. What was her name? Kira at the time.
Yeah.
Kyra. I remember she worked with Johnny Star. Man, yeah. I mean, so many people. Brawling Bo Cooper, who's going to be on the podcast next week. I mean, just so many people, man. And I, like I said, I thank you for all you've done for me. I mean, 28 years in the business and because of guys like you, I stuck around and I learned, you know, I learned a little bit from everybody and you were one of the ones that gave me a chance. So thank you.
The reason that I do what I do, man, is because I knew when I started, it was so hard to get into this business, man. I struggled. I mean, it was not easy for me and my tag team partner to get our first matches. It was just impossible. And but once we did, we took off from there. And I was working almost every weekend after I started, but I had to get that first match and nobody wanted to give you that first match. It was very difficult. And that's why I make it a lot easier for our guys, you know, the young guys, to be able to get their first match. And that's one of the reasons that we opened up, Bill and I, we started Empire Wrestling Federation because it was a starting point for the young guys. You know, it was a promotion that they could experience, you know, and get, you know, in front of a crowd.
And you guys always drew a really good crowd, the Knights of Columbus. It was always off the hook there. Always. Let's talk about what you're doing now. with your YouTube channel and how you're helping younger guys out. Like, I mean, TV tapings are very scarce these days.
And the way we do it, we tape, up to about 5 to 6 matches every 3 or 4 weeks, but we only put one out per week. I'm not putting out no more than that. It gives us a chance to get numbers on those matches, you know, by putting one up, and hopefully that channel will grow and get more exposure for the guys. I try to send that match, those matches that we put up, I try to send them everywhere, you know, so people could see them.
Well, you're doing a pretty good job, because I noticed a lot of things on your Facebook page in the last couple of weeks, and I'm like, I wonder what he's doing these days. Couldn't wait to get you on the podcast. But before we go any further, let's do this. Let's go pay some bills real quick. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with Jesse Hernandez and more stories of the Hard Knocks School of Wrestling. Want to get your hair cut? You go get your hair cut right. You head down to Big D's Barbershop. Big D's Barbershop, Vancouver, Washington's best and brightest. 1019 Main Street, Vancouver, Washington, where you can go get your hair lined up, cuts, fades, shampoos, conditions, and all the great things that go with supporting a local barbershop in a local business area. You can also reach them online at www.bigdsbarbershop.com. Go get your haircut right.
These are more than just the sounds of a safe place to go after school. These are the sounds of interest being ignited and of mentors making an impact. At Boys and Girls Clubs, we don't do just one thing. We do whatever it takes to meet the needs of every kid who comes through those doors. Because whatever it takes is what it takes to build great futures. Great futures start here.
It's so true, ladies and gentlemen. Great futures do start at the Boys and Girls Club, but they're also starting at the School of Hard Knocks with Jesse Hernandez. We talked about some funny stories. We talked about the past, crazy nights of wrestling with EWF. Tell us some stories about some of the guys that actually worked there. I mean, you know, like, for instance, we were talking about Pops, talking about Rudy Sr.
Right. I got to tell you a story about Rudy there. Way back, I think it was probably before EWF anyway, but there was a Lucha show at the Olympic Auditorium, and they hired me to referee, and they wanted a couple of guys to wrestle. And so the Pops, Arellano, Rudy bugged the hell out of me to allow him to wrestle in that part. And I didn't want to take him because Rudy was, you know, he's the type of guy that was crazy on matches. You know, I don't think he meant it, but he would get too excited. Sometimes he hurt people, you know. And so he didn't mean to. But he was stiff. He was a stiff son of a gun, man.
Yeah, was a stiff motherfucker.
Anyway, so, and he bugged me so much that I said, all right. And he swore, Jesse, I swear to God, man, I won't hurt anybody, man. I'll be easy with whoever, you know. Well, he was with him and my former tag team partner, who wrestled on that match. I believe he wrestled as Golden Star. And he and Rudy went against a couple of guys from L.A., Sammy Delgado was one, and the other one was a guy by the name of Chacal Rivera. Now, Chacal he was a little stiff himself, you know. But anyway, the match started.
Oh, man, battle of the stiff guys. That's a blue chew match of the night.
And Chakali stiffing the hell out of everybody, you know. And Sammy will go in there, you know, and say, it wasn't me, it was him, you know. He was afraid payback, you know. So I got tired of watching this guy stiff the hell out of my old partner, stiffing the hell out of Rudy, and Rudy wasn't fighting back at all, you know, wasn't stiffening back. And after about 10 minutes, I said, you know what, Rudy, you got the green light, man.
Oh, shit.
Gotta do, bro. He stiffed the shit out of the guy, man. after the match, we're in the dressing room, and Chico Rivera comes out to me to us, you know. Yeah, oh, how come we don't get along?
Oh, man.
That was his, that's how he came back with, why don't we all get along?
See, ladies and gentlemen, things like that do happen here on the Roundtable Podcast. When we bring up stories, you never know what you're going to get.
I was proud of Rudy that day, but I was very proud.
Oh, man. Nowadays, I sure miss that old bastard.
We just ask each other, do I owe you money or something?
Like, right? did I say something wrong in a match? Like, did I step on your shoes or something? Like, what?
But that's the way. For some reason, you know, a lot of the guys were out of Gil. The guy trained at Gil's Garage, you know, and I don't know if it was something that Gil would tell the guys to, you know, hey, you're wrestling some of the other guys from other schools, you know, beat the shit out of them, or whatever, you know. But I got along with a lot of them, but you know, there was maybe another guy that will sometimes get stiff. I don't remember his name, but one time we wrestled Gil. And him and Mando Lopez, I don't know if you remember the name way back. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're in Bakersfield, and me and my tag team partner wrestled Gil Arellano, Falcon de Oro, I think they call him. And after the match, he comes to us, guys, you guys are incredible. I don't know why my guys always say that you guys you weren't stiff at all. I said, we treat people
ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen that are listening to this podcast on Apple, on Spotify, on Google, on the Anchor app, listen, I'm gonna tell you guys, you're not really grasping the concept of when we say like Jesse's school versus Gil's school. Jesse's school is an actual building where there's a ring and there's like weights and there's like a school, right? Gil's is and I train there, so I'm gonna laugh. You're gonna laugh real hard when I tell you this, but literally, it's a fucking garage. Like, you take your car to get repaired, and you walk. Like, when you go to the wrestling school, there's literally a fucking garage, and you walk into the garage, and Gil is usually under a car full of grease working on somebody's car. He slides out from under you, give him your $5, he slides back under you, go inside.
That's awesome, but you know what? Praise him for doing what he did and allowing so many guys like yourself, you know, to get a little experience in the ring, and you and so many others, you know, you got to give him credit for that. Great guy.
Yeah,
great.
He helped a lot of guys like he did. I mean, that place is iconic. Like, people, we all talk about it. Like, literally everyone I know talks about this little garage.
A lot of people.
Where so many people have gone there. The Glow Girls were there at one time, you know, people don't get it. Like, this place is like the Olympic Auditorium in California. It's like the Mecca of Southern California wrestling.
Yeah.
Gil's Garage was the Mecca of Lucha Libre for Southern California people. Like, you know, Kiss and Charisma were there all the time. Ooh. I remember Rey Mysterio Sr. was there one time. Mondo was there. Bill Anderson was there. It was crazy.
Yeah. That was the place.
So. Yeah, it was. At the time, it was the place, man. So tell us about your time as a WWE referee.
Well, you know, what an experience that was. I had no idea it was going to grow to be what it is now. I had no idea. If I had had an idea, I would have saved a lot of programs. I would have saved a lot of stuff that, you know, that I had my hands on, you know, that I could have saved and made money with, you know. But I had no idea, man. Like, imagine all the programs and have all the boys sign them and shit, you know, and then sell them.
Your eBay will be blowing up right now.
You can you'd be a millionaire right about now.
Right? Yeah.
I'm so proud to have been a part of it. You know, I mean, when Mike LaBelle sold out the territory to Vince McMahon, he became the California promoter, because back then, you know, you had to be licensed, and Vince mm-hmm. didn't have a California license at the time, you know, with a commission. So he became the California promoter, and I was fortunate enough to, he didn't close the office, but he got rid of all the help. But he allowed me, because I was laid off from my job at the time, to go in once a week on a Monday, and he would pay me $100 just to do errands for him, you know, do this, do that. I even did the visas, helped him fill out the visas for the New Japan promotion, you know, the guys going to Japan. I did the paperwork on Andre the Giant, Tito Santana, so many guys at the time that were going up there. I did all paperwork. I worked the office. I would run to the post office to get him stamps and did all kinds of stuff. And I also was involved in delivering the tapes to the Channel 9, WWE, you know, before they ran the first show. We did nine weeks of first shows out here in California. I was doing all that stuff. So I was very fortunate. And then I was a referee. He made me a referee for WWF. And I did that for a while until Red Bastien took over with the license.
Red Bastien, that's a name I haven't heard in like decades.
So I was, you know, but that's what got me into WWF through Mike LaBelle. I was very fortunate. I hired the first ring crew for them too, for Vince.
You know, it's funny. You talk about like the commission and stuff. I remember we used to have to get these little, like, you would go downtown. I think it was like 7th and Hill to the State Athletic Commission office, which was like the state police at the time. And you would get like a little, like little card. It was like a little card, and they would tell you don't laminate it, but I laminated mine anyway. They were like, don't laminate this card. I was like, sure.
Over those days, man. Yeah, you have to be licensed. Oh, you have to be fingerprinted too, you know.
Because your fingerprint was on the back of the license, and you had like a little picture on there. It was crazy.
Yeah. The very first time that you went for a license, you had to be fingerprinted by the police department. I remember that.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. And I remember the commission. One of the commissioners was a protective services police officer.
Yeah.
And he worked at the state building.
He was a good guy.
It was crazy. Yeah. It was, I mean, in Oregon, we have a situation like that where the commissioners, the state athletic commission is ran by the state police.
Yeah.
So, you know, then they have like a representative come to the shows and whatever, whatnot, but you know, things have changed. There's no wrestling now, and kind of sucks. But you know, it's 2021. Hopefully, things will get a lot better.
Hopefully,
and hopefully, the wrestling industry will rebound. Yeah. Hopefully, the wrestling industry will rebound and become the juggernaut it was before. I mean, unless Vince sells out WrestleMania and everyone gets COVID, which would really fucking suck, but. It is what it is.
We'll have to wait and see.
Man. All right. So, Jesse, before we let you go, there's a game that we play with everyone that comes on the show. Real simple game. I'm pretty sure you'll like it. It's called Team With, Feud With, or Fire. Now, basically, you can team with anyone in the industry, no matter what year, what decade, whatever. You can be anyone alive or dead. You can feud with anyone alive or dead, and you can fire anyone. Yeah, I do mean anyone you want to. So,
in mind, limited to just wrestlers, managers, referees, ring announcers are also in play.
I mean, hell, I fire my timekeeper and ring announcer, I mean, referee like every week. So, they're fired all the time. As a matter of fact, he's probably in the chat like, I'm going to get fired this week, you know?
Well, I've already fired a few guys already.
Well, this should be easy then.
This is really easy for you then. Okay, so team with, few would fire.
Who will I fire? Gosh darn, man.
He started with the end. He's like, who am I gonna fire? Okay, well, let's do this. Let's start with who would you team with first?
I would have fired Rudy Arellano, you know.
You know, he's probably looking down from heaven like, these bastards really just fired me. I'm not even here anymore. They fired me. God damn it. I can see him right now.
Oh, man. Oh, but oh, man. I don't know. I love everybody, but I don't want to
just think that one of our referees is like, you never fired me, not you, Chris. Sign guy gets fired all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, so who would you team with? Let's start there.
Okay, who will I team with? Hercules Hernandez, man. What a
Okay.
Son of a gun, too. You know,
Ray Hernandez.
There you go. Ray okay. Hernandez. Okay, yep. So you team with Hercules Hernandez. Who would you guys feud with?
I'd say Demolition, brother.
Demolition. Okay. Okay. I like it.
Yeah. Wait. Let's make sure for which variation, Axe and Smash or Axe Smash and Crush.
Axe and Smash.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Sometimes we gotta get a little bit. You know, we gotta understand.
Me and Darso, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so Axe Smash. Okay, and who would you fire since that seems to be your favorite besides Rudy?
God damn, who the? I fired that Chacal Rivera.
Oh, shit. Wasn't he running shows at one time?
He was just a local wrestler out of LA that trained with at Gills, and you know. And he likes to stiff everybody that he didn't like, I guess.
Oh my God, I know who that is now. I remember who he is. He used to run training.
Poor guy, man. Remember?
Yeah, he used to run training.
Wild hair.
Guy. He used to fuck the Bronx Bomber up all the time.
Oh God.
Well, me, the bomber, and Fabiano will start going down to AAA down in Mexico all the time. And we would go to Gil's Gym every Saturday at 8 a.m. to work out. And he would beat the shit. Oh my God. He would totally beat the shit out of Alan. I'd be like, dude, I'm not going to get in there. I'm 150 pounds soaking wet. He's killing my ass.
Now you know what I'm talking about that match with
Rudy. Yeah. Now. Thank you, Rudy, for smashing him. Yeah. He earned that stiffing. Man, the receipts were given heavy that night, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Jesse, I want to thank you very much for joining us here on the Roundtable Podcast. It's always an honor and a privilege to have you on the show, man. And like I said, thank you very much for all you've done for me and for what you're doing for all the young guys now.
And you guys keep doing what you're doing, man. That's a lot of fun.
Somebody's got to, sir. Somebody's got to. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that has been Jesse Hernandez from the School of Hard Knocks. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back once again with another commercial break. And yeah.
Drive me insane. I'll be cruel, so lame. Come and take it all the fun out. Drive me insane. I'll be cruel, so lame. Come and take it all the fun out. Drive me insane. I'll be cruel.
When you want to get your hair cut, you go get your hair cut right. You head down to Big D's Barbershop. Big D's Barbershop, Vancouver, Washington's best and brightest. 1019 Main Street, Vancouver, Washington, where you can go get your hair lined up, cuts, fades, shampoos, conditions, and all the great things that go with supporting a local barbershop in a local business area. You can also reach them online at www.bigdsbarbershop.com. Go get your hair cut right.
These are more than just the sounds of a safe place to go after school. These are the sounds of interest being ignited and of mentors making an impact. At Boys and Girls Clubs, we don't do just one thing. We do whatever it takes to meet the needs of every kid who comes through those doors.
Because whatever it takes is what it takes to build great futures. Great futures start here.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to once again thank Jesse Hernandez from the EWF School of Hard Knocks in Southern California. Man, everyone from John Cena all the way up to the Ultimate Warrior have trained at that school, man. And he has helped a lot of people.
Absolutely.
Awesome. And,
wanted to bring up a comment that we got here in the chat real quick. I just want to let you know that BCW was recently mentioned on the OSW Wrestling video podcast on YouTube. Sir Mo, who hopefully will be joining us here in a little bit, was a frequent mention for humor, and a clip of your evening when he was featured was shown. Great job, you guys. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. We're definitely going to have to go and find that and maybe see if we can bring that up on our show as well.
That would be completely awesome, man. That would be totally awesome. Unfortunately, Bobby Horn, Sir Mo, had an emergency. He won't be able to join us tonight here on the Roundtable Podcast, which is okay.
That's okay.
Let's hope that things work out. But, you know, the Roundtable, man, we have so much fun here. Like,
yes, we do.
So much fun here. I mean, sometimes we get a little crazy. Sometimes we get a little outlandish, you know, and, you know, sometimes we do things. And, you know, quite honestly, we put together the best entertainment we can possibly, and we're doing it like every week live Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. We're also on several different like podcasts. Like, Brian, you can find us on Apple Podcasts. You can find us there at the Roundtable Podcast, Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast on Apple. You can find us on Anchor. Now, Anchor is the app that actually helps us when it comes to distributing our podcast to several different entities. Okay. So the Anchor app, you can go to Anchor. Anchor.fm / the Roundtable Podcast. And the Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast. It's right there on the ticker. I don't know why. You can find us at BCW Worldwide on Twitch TV, BCW Worldwide TV, or YouTube.com/BCW Worldwide Television. And we're doing the best we can to bring the best quality professional wrestling news, MMA news. I mean, like Bloodsport is being shown this week live on pay-per-view. And one of our close buddies actually was on the Bloodsport, and that's Jeff Cobb. Jeff Cobb has been a part of the BCW family for a long time. He's currently a New Japan star, but you know, he's one of the guys that you can count on to come to, you know, join us here at BCW Worldwide Presents the Roundtable any day, anytime. You know, man, we have so much stuff to talk about. Tony.
Yes.
Let's talk about Kenta. Kenta and AEW, man, like, what the hell? The forbidden door has been kicked wide open.
Yeah, that's putting it lightly. So it's, I mean, this basically goes without saying, but now Kenta being in AEW, that pretty much is a solid confirmation that AEW and New Japan have a working relationship.
Oh, no.
New
Japan came out and said that they have a deal with AEW now.
Yeah, I mean, we always had, some of us straight up knew, but we always had that this was the case. But now we actually have confirmation of this, and that's definitely going to open up a ton of possibilities here for the future.
Man, so much wrestling is going on right now, ladies and gentlemen. We got so many cool things happening. I mean, the pandemic has slowed down so much for so many people.
It has.
And I mean, you guys are all, even the people in the chat, you know, like, we created this podcast, and Tony, can you believe that we've been on the air for like literally 11 months?
That's right. Absolutely. And if you, if we're counting the previous incarnation of the show, when we were in the studio, that dates back, we're over a year now.
Man. Man, oh man.
and counting.
So much stuff, man. We've done so much over the course of the last year.
We have, and we're only going to continue to get bigger and better.
I mean, ladies and gentlemen, you don't understand the significance. And I have to say this on behalf of Tony and myself. Thank you. Thank you guys very much, because you guys have pushed us to make ourselves better. I mean, right now we're on Breaker, we're on Radio Public, we're on Spotify, we're on Google, we're on Apple Podcasts. Freaking Apple Podcasts came to us and like, hey, we want your show on there. Freaking Apple Podcasts. Those are the people that have like the Joe Rogan experience and, you know, like WWE stuff. Like, they have us on there now. Like, that's freaking awesome. We have like over 19 different, we're on 19 different audio channels, several video channels. I mean, and our, look, go to the Roundtable Podcast. Just like, click, and subscribe it. I mean, man, I'm looking at the analytics right now, and our shows are just skyrocketing. People are like we're getting views in places like China.
Yep.
China, ladies and gentlemen. People are listening to us in Bangladesh. Look, you can't see it on my phone here, but I'm going to go ahead and just pull it up real quick. Look, people are watching us in France. Yep. France.
And, you know, at this point, I mean, I'd say probably the next step is probably going to be satellite radio.
Now, that's another thing we're looking at. Sirius satellite radio. I'm looking at that. I'm looking at FM satellite radio. And our demographic is crazy, man. Like, we 23, 27, 28, 34, 45 to 59, 60 and older. Like, we're breaking demographics, man. People are listening to our podcast because we're not just talking about your average WWE, AEW, Impact Wrestling, New Japan. We're talking about like life in general. Like, we're making this podcast. You know, we're a social media podcast here, and it's awesome, man. It's, you know, and you guys are helping us achieve this dream. You know, so shoot, man, thank you. Like, so all I really can say is thanks. You guys have no idea.
Achieving the dream and having fun doing it.
Yeah, like, you know, how many people can really truly enjoy what they do? Like, just I can come in here, close myself off, sit in my, to show you how much I enjoy this. My mom passed away on a Tuesday. I was distraught, like, holy shit, distraught. Like, I was, like, I fucking didn't know what I was gonna do. And then the guys in the Roundtable Podcast group were like, hey, let's cancel our show tomorrow. And I said, fuck no, my mom wouldn't want that. And our fans deserve better. So we all decided we're going to take shots and we're going to celebrate life and we're going to have a great show. Yep. And honestly, that was one of our most listened to shows, one of our most watched shows. Yep. Everybody watched it. It was awesome. You know, and I appreciate everyone that comes into the comments, you know, like, and this show is bringing people together. I mean, I just did an interview the other night with a gentleman from ALW who was a promoter for, you know, back in the day. And I mean, a ring announcer and a comedian. And, you know, it's like, we sat and we talked for like 2.5 hours, a 15 minute interview turned into 2.5 hours, you know, cause we just sat down and we talked. You know, we're branching off into MMA.
Yep.
You know, we got like Adam Woods, who's interviewing a lot of MMA fighters, who's going to come aboard and do some stuff with us. He does the Monday Night Raw review with me. Sometimes we do the AEW review. You know, and Tony is amazing at what he does here in podcasts. And, you know, we come in here and we shoot the shit. We just have a good time.
I kind of wish Adam was on right now, because I'd really like to bring up the, I guess you can call it breaking news with Gina Carano here tonight. And as a quote unquote unfortunate as it may be, I mean, it's still
unfortunate. Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there was a lot of stuff that was going on with that situation. And, you know, hey. Tony, you know, it's okay. You can talk about it here on the podcast.
Okay. Well, straight up, if you have not heard yet, Gina Carano, who was a member of the Mandalorian show, She was a cast member. She has been released from her contract. She will no longer be part of the show. She will no longer be reprising her role as Cara Dune due to some very controversial statements that she had been making on social media.
Now, what were those about? let's just let the cat out of the bag, man. Let's talk about it.
Sure. Oh, let's see where to start. Comments about the election being a fraud. Some very incendiary comments about comparing the right wing to the people of Jewish people and them being persecuted. Things of that nature. Needless to say, these comments did not go over well with a vast majority of that audience.
That's right. It sure didn't.
No. And they finally decided, well, too much is too much. They had to let her go. And it's simply a con. I mean, we hear this from a lot of people. We've heard it from Bob Evans. We've heard it from just about anybody who has any common sense in our industry. Be careful what you say on social media.
Oh my God, people. I'm going to tell you, the internet doesn't forget. It doesn't forget. Look, I don't know if you guys remember the back a couple weeks ago. Well, actually, maybe like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
There was this Hartley Sawyer, who played the Elongated Man on Flash, yep. Was released from his contract with the CW. And it was because of some comments that were made, God, like 10 years ago.
Racist, misogynistic comments.
But someone pulled it up online, and that was it. Someone pulls up online, and you know, that's all it takes. That is all it takes, ladies and gentlemen. I always tell people, be careful what you say online. Be careful how you say it online, because the internet doesn't forget. Someone's gonna bring their comment back up, and it's gonna bite you in the ass.
And coming from me, I mean, holy crap. I say more shit. I'm banned on Facebook again right now.
You know, you, my friend, you're banned on Facebook. You're banned on fucking Twitter. Like, what?
Yep.
I just saw that.
I tend not to keep my mouth shut, especially when it comes to people who are extremely bigoted. So it happens.
It does happen. Look at Lars Sullivan.
Look at Lars Sullivan, yeah.
Lars Sullivan was released from the WWE back in January, but they just announced it like 3 days ago, which is weird.
Yeah, they wanted to keep it under wraps.
And Shane. Shane, you asshole. They clearly don't forget about Nia's hole that burst. Okay.
Okay. Look, I didn't see it, but I heard about what happened, and oh God.
Me and Adam Woods talked about it yesterday. We did a special report just because we want to get that out. Nia Jax basically gave a leg drop to Lana. Lana moved. Oops. And Nia leg dropped the apron, which is the hardest part of the ring, ladies and gentlemen. It does hurt. And she screams out, oh, my hole hurts. Can you imagine all these memes are going to trump all the Bernie memes, I'm telling you.
Oh, my God. Yes,
you're just going to see, like, it, you know, even on the YouTube, like, if you go to WWE's YouTube channel, they're replaying it. There are over 1 million views of that. The issue. It got to the point where, fine. Like, yeah, it got to the point where, like, this company, this company actually went out and offered her a bidet.
Yep, that's right.
Like, this company. Bidet. Yeah, this company was like, hey, you know, as a matter of fact, look here. Let me read the message, dear Nia Jax. I saw what transpired last night during Raw. My condolences to your hole. That looked like it hurt. To help ease some of your pain, I'd like to send you a free tushy spa 3.0 bidet to install. I imagine things are a bit tender right now down there with the sensitive nerves endings. Wait a second. Hold on. It gets better though. It's so ridiculous. Wiping with dry tissue may irritate the damaged area. And further with the tushy spa 3.0, you can spray your bum with water. It will help it feel cleaner, fresher, and healthier in no time. Right? Then he goes on to say, we can also send you Tushy Travel, a portable bidet. Perfect for people who poop when they're out and about and have no hand in case they need it, as long as you're in pain, that persists. Lastly, we love Tushy brand ambassador and speak to many features our bidet offers our athletes. Hold on. Let me know if you're interested in a free Tushy and Tushy Travel. I'll send you one ASAP. Feel free to check out our website for assorted products. Cheers, Mika. I don't know how you pronounce the last name. I'm not going to butcher it, but they are the founder of Tushy. Can you fucking believe it?
Okay, so, you know, they say that any publicity is good publicity. That's debatable. That's very debatable. But in this case, if they were gonna pay me to promote bidets, fuck yes, I'll take it. I will do that in a heartbeat.
It's so funny. So funny, man. I'm just saying. Like a bidet is great. You know, I mean, water shooting up your butt, that's awesome. It is what it is, I guess, right? Look, they're already having shirts made. What the hell?
I know.
Oh my God. This happened like on Monday. It's now Wednesday, and they already have shirts.
It happens overnight.
Oh my God. It's crazy.
Overnight. So this reminds me. So back in the pre-Impact days of TNA, let's see. So it was...
That can go so many ways. So many ways.
Rebel and Shelly Martinez had a match.
She's not like most girls.
No, she isn't. So Rebel and Shelly Martinez had a match.
Oh, my God. I heard about this dreaded match.
Yeah. So... essentially what happened is, they were going through their match. They were, you know, went through a spot and apparently, somehow Rebel ended up, I guess she was hooking, Shelly for a suplex or something and basically gave her the front wedgie from hell.
Yeah.
Shelly screamed out, "My vag, my vag." Yes.
And that trended so much, man.
Yep.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the weird stuff that happens in professional wrestling, you can't help but find out. Oh, like,
you have no idea.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. I'm telling you. Some of the things we hear on this podcast are just outrageous too. Like, you gotta think about it. It's our life. Go live it, right? Shane Nichols, laugh out loud.
If something weird doesn't happen at a show, I mean, what are you doing?
If something weird doesn't happen at a show, you're at the wrong show, ladies and gentlemen. Let's just call it what it is.
Exactly.
Oh man, look, ladies and gentlemen, we talk a lot here. We talk a lot of crap about certain things. And, you know, we see some of the crap that happens in the indie wrestling scene. Did you guys know that there was like the show Ridiculousness actually profiled professional wrestling? And, oh my God, some of the things are just wilding out crazy. Just too much. too much to talk about. But let's do this. I mean, we've been here talking about, you know, things that are going on here with the Roundtable Podcast and, you know, just general stuff. But let's talk about what happened tonight at AEW, man. Let's go to a quick commercial break and let's just do a quick rundown of AEW because some craziness happened, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Want to get your hair cut? You go get your hair cut right. You head down to Big D's Barbershop. Big D's Barbershop, Vancouver, Washington's best and brightest. 1019 Main Street, Vancouver, Washington, where you can go get your hair lined up, cuts, fades, shampoos, conditions, and all the great things that go with supporting a local barbershop in a local business area. You can also reach them online at www.bigdsbarbershop.com. Go get your haircut right.
These are more than just the sounds of a safe place to go after school. These are the sounds of interest being ignited and of mentors making an impact. At Boys and Girls Clubs, we don't do just one thing. We do whatever it takes to meet the needs of every kid who comes through those doors. Because whatever it takes is what it takes to build great futures. Great futures start here.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. And look, man, AEW is fucking knocking it out of the park every week. And, you know, like when you watch a WWE show, they start with a promo in the ring, and then another guy comes in, then another guy comes in, another guy comes in. And after you know, it's like fucking 30 minutes of nothing but, you know.
Yep.
Nothing but promo, right? But look, the Dynamite straight up opened with the TNT title match. I mean, Darby Allin versus Joey Janela. And ladies and gentlemen, like, this match was probably Joey Janela's best match ever against Darby Allin. Just period. Like, Joey Janela it was fucking phenomenal from start to finish.
Just saying something, because Joey Janela, not my favorite wrestler in the world, but I mean, the guy's faced legends like Great Sasuke, Jensei Shinzaki, or Hakushi. He's faced some pretty big names, so for this to be his best match ever is definitely saying something.
I mean, it was, man. Ooh, wow, sorry, ladies and gentlemen, that was off. It was by far his best match, like I said. Even his worst critics will probably say that was the best match he's ever had. And he's, Joey Janela does the whole spring break thing at WrestleMania weekend, and he's faced, like Tony said, a lot of top-level guys. But this is probably the best match they've had. I know Joey Janela caught Darby Allin in the midair with a fucking German suplex, which was crazy. And then he hit him with a power driver, barely got the two count. And, you know, Allin just hit that, you know, reverse, he hit the coffin drop, boom, 1, 2, 3, he retains the title. Classic match. I'm going to say, if I had to give that match an A to F rating, I'd give it a quick B.
Yeah, Darby Allin's going to be their future.
Darby Allin is the face of their company right now. Now, the next match.
Before anybody had ever heard of him.
Yeah, I mean, he was a BCW. He came to BCW first match. Crazy as this may sound, Cody Rhodes, probably one of the top stars of AEW right now, seems to be picking AEW is doing something that WWE doesn't do, and they're growing homegrown talent, young up and coming talent. So Cody Rhodes teamed out with Lee Johnson tonight, who's the newest member of the Nightmare family, which is like a group that they have, and they faced a friend of mine, Peter Avalon.
Yes.
PPA, and Cesar Bononi, like, he's a former NXT guy. Like, he's really good, really good, big dude. But once again, the young guys shine bright, man. I mean, Lee Johnson's a AEW dark guy. He's been on the show a lot, and he's not really like a guy who's been in the business like 10 years or anything like that, but him and Cody worked a great tag team match, and they won. Awesome. Awesome, awesome match. I honestly would give it a C. Like, I mean, man, he's pretty good. But a match that I think that he came out tonight to prove a point. Tonight, Pac wrestled the brother of Dolph Ziggler, who has now named himself the Hollywood Hunk, Ryan Nemeth. Now, look, let's call it what it is, man. This guy has been around for a while. He's a fucking phenomenal worker. Formally, yeah, he does a whole
Red Hot Briley.
Exactly. He does a Dolph Ziggler style snap DDT. You know, like he sells like Dolph. He's awesome. But let's just call it what it is. You put him in the ring against a man named Pac, the man that gravity forgot. And, you know, from a Black Arrow, because he doesn't call it the Falcon Arrow anymore, the Black Arrow right into the Brutalizer submission, tap to get out. You know, Pac's on a mission, man. And but Ryan Nemeth, you know, being the younger brother of Dolph Ziggler, he looks like him, same moves. You know, people are gonna compare him constantly.
Yes, they are.
You know, I mean, and it sucks being someone in the industry who has an older sibling who's more accomplished.
Yeah, kind of the same curse that Dustin Rhodes had for quite a while when he was still in his younger years in WCW.
Yeah, but look, even Cody now. Cody has to live up to the legacy of Dusty Rhodes, but he also has to live up to the legacy of Cody. I mean, of Dustin, which kind of fucking sucks for Cody, but he's making the best of it. And I think Cody is the best pure baby face in the business right now. Now, this match is a tag team match, and it totally kicks all the ass. MJF and Chris Jericho versus the Acclaimed. Now, the Acclaimed, hot young tag team, the WWE was so active. They were chasing them, begging them to sign a contract, and the Acclaimed decided to sign with AEW. Max Caster, Anthony Bowens, you know, they have a flashier Crime Time gimmick. You know, they come to the ring rapping.
Gimmick, okay.
And their flow is pretty sick. They talk shit about the guys that they're coming to the ring. They're like a bigger version of PG-13.
Okay.
yeah, I thought they're like a bigger version of PG-13.
Without the illegal drugs.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
But they're wrestling Chris Jericho and MJF, which, I mean, quite honestly, I totally think that this whole Chris Jericho, the Inner Circle gimmick with Wardlow and MJF joining, and Wardlow has heat with Jeff Hager, with Sammy Hager, Jesus Christ. Because their tag team is called Sammy Hager, him and Sammy Guevara. With Jack Hager, you know, him and Wardlow have beef, and then Sammy Guevara has beef with MJF, and you know, Santana and Ortiz have beef with everybody now because they're the legit tag team that was brought in to be the tag team of the Inner Circle. And it's like so much infighting that gimmick is so over. People are expecting them to blow up right away, and they're not. You know, it's a crazy thing, but, you know, the Inner Circle had a really great match with these guys. Jericho hits the Judas Effect. And then, you know, the one thing that happened that everyone freaked out about, Sammy Guevara finally had enough. He came out at the end of the match and he quit the Inner Circle. I mean, personally, I think Sammy Guevara is he's a great athlete, but he's also kind of a piece of shit person. Those are my comments, and those are mine alone. They do not reflect those of the Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast at all. They are my own. Yeah, so anyway, Sammy's a big face now. Guevara quit the stable. Everybody thought it was going to happen, but people also thought that Guevara and MJF were in cahoots, and we're gonna take over the Inner Circle, turn our back, I guess, Jericho, and have Jericho turn face. But you know, I don't think that's gonna happen. He's a better heel than he is a face. Now, something that I've been so excited about, I have a friend that is a WWE diehard. Like, he works for the company. So, of course, he's going to fluff up the company. You know, WWE does have one of the best women's divisions in professional wrestling. Fair. They just can't do shit with it. Because they just got all these people. Like, they're burying Asuka. She's the Raw Women's Champion. You're burying your women's champion. Totally fucking sucks. So everyone says AEW has a shitty women's division. Well, they decided to do a women's world championship eliminator tournament. And what they're doing is they're bringing American wrestlers versus Japanese wrestlers. There's an actual Japanese bracket that's happening.
This is something I wanted to bring up. Yeah, the Japanese versus USA style tournament. And apparently at least part of the tournament is going to take place over in Japan.
It's already started.
Okay, yeah.
So tonight, tonight AEW has proven the point that they have a good women's division. And tonight, the first round match that we saw was Layla Hirsch. Layla Hirsch is fucking amazing, dude. She's going to be a superstar one of these days. And she's taking on former NWA World Women's Champion and the woman who beat me in the Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble pool we had 2 weeks ago, she chose number one, and number two was Edge, but yet Edge decided to come out at number one. So I lost thanks to that. But yeah, I'm still a little bitter, but I love her anyway. Former NWA World Women's Champion, Thunder Rosa. Now, Thunder Rosa is amazing as usual. But this chick, Layla Hirsch, she is freaking amazing. Like I said, she's short, stocky, but she has some great amateur wrestling skill. I mean, she's like a female version of Taz, a female version of Kurt Angle. She's a better version of, in my opinion, she's a better wrestling version of Ronda Rousey. I mean, suplexes, she's great. She put up a serious fight with the former NWA World Women's Champion, but after her moonsault, after using her finisher, Thunder Rosa does beat her and advance to the second round of the tournament. So Thunder Rosa is the first person to go into the second round of the World Women's Eliminator Tournament to determine a number one contender for the Women's Championship. Now, let's call it like it is. WWE has some great wrestling talent.
Sure.
But they don't let them work.
True.
They water them down. And literally, they basically nerf their ability.
Yes, they basically want everybody to be the same carbon copy of each other.
Can't have cookie cutter matches all the time.
Yep.
But AEW is now excelling at what they're doing. And dude, seriously, with them having all these Japanese wrestlers, these Joshis. Joshi wrestlers are the best wrestlers in the world when it comes to women wrestling. Let's just call it what it is.
100% agreed.
I mean, Hikaru Shida is the AEW Women's Champion. Stardom Joshi. Okay. So that match was over. Those two women put probably the best match of the night. Probably the best match of the night. Layla Hirsch is still new to AEW, but she looks really impressive every time she's out there, man. You can see her on AEW Dark. You can see her on AEW Dynamite. She's phenomenal. Phenomenal. So, the match that everyone, including myself, I cannot wait for this. Like, I was like, let's push the podcast back an extra hour so I can watch this craziness. And it was, trust me, it was craziness. Kenta, ladies and gentlemen, from the Bullet Club, New Japan's Kenta. The originator of the go to sleep. This man was Hideo Itami in the WWE one time. They watered him down. They didn't let him achieve what he could have achieved. And Kenta went back to Japan, immediately joined the Bullet Club, and is now the hottest professional wrestler that side of the country. Now, the great thing about Kenta is that he does wrestle in Japan, but he lives in Orlando.
That's right. That's right.
Now, I don't know if you guys remember a few months ago, they pulled this gimmick where Kenny Omega, where John Moxley was attacked in the locker room and he couldn't compete for several weeks. And there was a mystery guy that attacked him. I literally came on the podcast that night and said Kenta was the one that did it. And everyone was like, I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm like, dude, he lives in fucking Orlando. Orlando is a 4-hour drive to Jacksonville. Okay. If you watch Kenta's Instagram, if you watch Kenta's Twitter, he always talks about, hey, how was the surfing up in Jacksonville? How was the ride to Jacksonville? Maybe I might show up in Jacksonville. What's in Jacksonville? Oh, wait, Daly's place for AEW. That's right. I mean, he's not saying I live in Orlando. Let me go to the NXT, you know, the performance center or the Capital Wrestling Center, whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah, no, no.
So just, I mean, you got four guys, in my opinion, four guys. This is four AEW guys or three AEW guys and a New Japan guy that are all New Japan guys.
Yeah.
Because John Moxley is the New Japan, he's the IWGP United States champion.
That's right. Yep.
And he, Kenta won a tournament, I believe, right? To become the number one contender.
That's right. Yeah. Similar to the Money in the Bank style briefcase he carries around.
So you got Kenta, you got Omega, you got Moxley, and you got Lance Archer. No, people, Lance Archer was part of the Killer Elite Squad with Davey Boy Smith.
Yep.
Or Harry Smith, whatever.
Yep.
They ran roughshod in the tag team division for a long time.
Yeah, New Japan and NOAH, as a matter of fact.
Weren't they like IWGP and NOAH tag team champions at one time?
They sure were, and they had a ridiculously long reign as the NOAH tag team champions Global Honored Crown Tag Team Champions before they were finally knocked off by a New Japan / NOAH tag team. So it took the combined forces of two different promotions to knock them off. So that tells you exactly what you need to know right there.
Man, they're beasts. I mean, come on, man. They are fucking beasts. But you got Moxley and Archer, like two guys that don't really like see eye to eye, but they both hate Omega and Kenta.
Yep.
Now, last week, Kenta showed up. Kenta, now, for those who are watching the podcast and those who are listening to us on our several different outlets there, you know, Google, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, you know, Breaker, all these other great podcasts that we're on. What you got to understand is that when Harold Mage was the president of New Japan, he was pissed that Omega and the Bucks decided to start their own company. He was pissed, and he slammed the door shut, so to speak, on a working relationship with AEW.
That's right. Yep. He effectively severed that tie before it could even be formed.
Yeah. It was crazy. It was so crazy. But now the forbidden door is wide open, ladies and gentlemen. And now you're going to get to see some fucking amazing matches. Crazy amazing matches.
Yeah, man. And we alluded to it, but now you effectively have, what is it, five different promotions that are kind of cross-pollinating right now between AEW, New Japan, AAA, the NWA, since they have the NWA World Women's Champion. And I know there's one that I'm forgetting right offhand, but they also have the relationship with.
Well, let's see.
It'll come to me.
It's NWA.
Yep.
It's NWA, New Japan.
Yep.
The Joshi companies.
Yes, that's right. That's what I was thinking.
Stardom, several other Joshi companies.
Yeah, Stardom.
Then you got Then you got Impact Wrestling. Then you got AAA. Dude, literally, that's six promotions working together, building a men's and women's.
I forgot Impact. Yeah, so six promotions.
You know, like for instance, this Sunday or this Saturday at the Impact Wrestling taping pay-per-view, you got the Impact Wrestling World Tag Team Championship match, right? You got the Good Brothers, who are frequently on the AEW now. You got the Good Brothers versus, I believe it's Chris Sabin and James Storm, versus Private Party with Matt Hardy. Now, Private Party is a AEW tag team that went over to Impact and became the number one contenders.
Effectively you have an AEW team, you have an Impact team, and then you have this wild card, this freelance team that you can't really define one way or the other now.
So many great matches. And I'm going to tell you guys this, like people were so shocked when Kenta showed up. They were so shocked when on Tuesday morning, this last Tuesday morning, it was Tuesday morning that New Japan made the announcement that they're going to be doing a 1-hour TV show on the Roku television network in the United States, and that they have officially entered into a partnership, an agreement with AEW. Like, people were so shocked, and oh my God, can you believe it? Dude, if you sit back and you guys listen to everything that Tony Khan had been saying on Twitter. He said that the change was coming and that the balance of power was going to shift. And then Matt Cardona showed up and people were like, oh, is that it? What? Pac shows up? That's it? And then all of a sudden Sting showed up and people were like, oh shit, Sting is back. Was that it? Oh shit, Kenta just showed up. Oh my God. Now, look, let's dial it back a minute. Let's dial it back a little bit. Remember when Chris Jericho's 30th anniversary show that happened on his show, on the AEW show, and all these people were saying, you know, congratulations to Chris Jericho for 30 years. And then they start showing New Japan guys. I believe it was Tanahashi, right? Yep.
Tanahashi. Now,
let's rewind 2 weeks prior. We had a big storyline between Jon Moxley and Lance Archer.
That's right.
Now, they were showing New Japan footage of Archer versus Moxley for the United States title when Moxley won the U.S. title from Archer. So, think about it like this. If it's a roundtable podcast, right?
Yes.
Tony, if you were a rival podcast and I were the roundtable podcast and I'm running a podcasting show with footage from your show showing you, wait, look, yeah, Tony DeBurns on my show. I remember blah, 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 blah. And I'm showing your footage. Obviously, we have an agreement.
Yeah, you would think so anyway.
I mean, the writing's on the wall, people. Pay attention. You know, yeah. I mean, come on. I can tell you, like it doesn't take a genius to figure these things out.
No. But, no, it doesn't. You know,
it is what it is. And that's why we have this podcast, because we like to expose the business. So anyway, during this tag team match, Archer and Omega fought through the crowd. Kenta hits the go to sleep. You know, it's just crazy. This whole match, I mean, chokeslam, Archer chokeslams Omega and walks on, you know, hits the moonsault.
Did somebody use a potato as a weapon in that match?
Yes. And here's the crazy thing, though. Throughout this whole thing, remember the Bullet Club is for life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Kenta is Bullet Club.
Yes, he is.
Omega is Bullet Club for life. And so are the Good Brothers, who come out and attack Archer and Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jake the Snake got bumped around a bit.
Jake is taking bumps, man. It's crazy. Like, you know,
Jake.
He's been doing that DDP yoga, man.
yeah.
Jake's, what, 60-something years old? He's taking bumps, man. I mean, people are talking about Sting being in his late 50s or whatever, whatnot. What is he, 61? People are talking about Sting. I mean, Terry Funk was wrestling until his leg. Terry Funk's wrestling until he's damn near 75, you know?
I know, right? Man.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. Craziness, my friend. Craziness. Oh, man. But, you know, like I said.
Full crowds.
You know, the full crowd thing. It's crazy. But look, the relationship with AEW and New Japan is going to excite a lot of fans. I mean, you get to see more people like Kenta coming. Yeah, that's right. It was a false count anywhere. That's right. You know, I don't know, man. But speaking of anywhere, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce you to the third member of our Roundtable podcast, the MMA version of our podcast, the combat sports guru of the podcast, ladies and gentlemen, Adam Corden to motherfucking Woods. Welcome aboard, Adam Woods.
And it is my honor and privilege to be here on the GCW Roundtable. They are definitely lowering their standards in terms of guests to have me on. But
come on.
Oh, Adam.
One thing I want to bring, Shane, you mentioned you wanted to see a Falls Count Anywhere match that doesn't end the ring. Look up a match. I was going to say it's 92. Cactus Jack versus Van Hammer. Look it up. I think you will be quite pleased.
Shane says what I was thinking. I said, wow. At the same time, he typed, wow. You said Van Hammer, bro. What the hell?
Right? Remember, we're talking about a member of Raven's flock, Van Hammer.
That's right. Yes. Van Hammer.
With the nipple piercing and everything. Bro.
Yep. Yeah, back in his grudge days.
Grudge days.
I mean,
my gear days.
You know, had a like a generic version of Smells Like Teen Spirit. And shout out to you guys in the Pacific Northwest. You know, obviously Seattle versus Oregon, but even still, yeah. Just say.
My gosh. Okay, so look, Adam, earlier today on your portion of the podcast, you shot an interview with Royce Isaacs. It was pretty awesome. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, guys. Again, I can only work as hard as you guys are doing here at BCW Worldwide. But I don't have the longest reigning and last NWA Pacific Northwest champion on my deal. I don't have the brain trust of wrestling knowledge and technical ability that Tony DeBurn has. So again, I have to do 8 shows a day to even come
through.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say this right now. Adam Woods is the hardest working man in podcasting. Denise Salcedo has the gimmick of being the hardest working woman in sports infotainment. Well, I'm going to say Adam Woods is the hardest working man in podcasting worldwide. Like, if there was a championship belt with a mic on it, you would be the podcasting world champion. Calling it like I see it, ladies and gentlemen. This guy talks MMA. He talks all types of combat sports, professional wrestling. And he's been talking about blood sport. Can we discuss blood sport? Because I'm pretty sure Tony DeBurn loves that shit.
Yeah, you right up my alley.
Yes.
So, Tony, would you say that this will be some real good shit?
Real good shit.
Yes. I mean, if you like shoot style fighting, good Lord. I mean, Tony DeBurn, this is right up your alley. I know you like fights, right? You like big, burly gentlemen, you know, engaging in fisticuffs. As do I,
that
right?
Sounds kind of, again, that sounds kind of wrong, guys.
You have your fair share of wars and bloodshed over the course of your historic and lauded career, right? So this one, you can actually take a seat back because some of your buddies, much like Royce Isaacs and a litany of other luminaries on this Bloodsport card, you can watch them do battle while you kind of sit back, like the good brothers say, and tip back some BLLs, that's Bud Light Limes,
yeah,
and just enjoy it.
Yeah, we were talking about a friend of the promotion, Jeff Cobb, as a matter of fact, his participation on the show.
Yes.
Cobb, oh my God. Isaacs. Man, it's a big hoss fight with those guys, man. Adam, why don't you run the card down for everyone here on the podcast so they kind of know what's going on? Because I know you're the man with all the information.
Man, it's cool. So right now we're going to actually tomorrow, returning to the podcast will be none other than former NXT tag team champion, the one and only man of many, many last names, but he's definitely known by one. The first name, and that is Simon Gotch. In this particular instance, he is billed as Grimm, like he is in MLW with the Team Filthy and all that jazz. But he'll be joining the podcast. And here's the cool thing: for the first time ever, this is a first for me in not just the podcasting career, but my entire career. I am actually interviewing somebody that is a contracted talents to New Japan Pro Wrestling. And
that's
that
right.
is
one New Japan Lions Den
on Friday.
Wow. Let me ask you this, Adam. I want you to do me a favor. Tomorrow when you're done, I'm going to be watching the podcast. So you better do it. And I'm going to chime in the chat. I'm going to fuck with you until you do it. I want you to ask Simon Grimm. I want you to say, Simon, I want you to talk to me about Violence Unlimited. I want you to talk to me about Ryan Drago. Talk to me about Ryan Drago.
You know what, though? I think I kind of have to put over the first generation sensation, Wavell Star.
No, we're not doing that on this podcast right now. We're not doing that on this podcast. Okay, Deborah Pinky Simmons, I know you're watching. No, fuck that. Oh, we're not talking about the first nation sensation Wavell fucking Star on this podcast. We talk about him in that fucking chat group every day. We don't want to talk about him on the podcast. No, he does not get any play today.
Yes, I mean, he's handling stuff up there in the prairies of Canada.
I'm afraid he's become the next Chris Benoit. I know I shouldn't be laughing, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize, but it's an inside joke between Adam and I and several people in our chat. As a matter of fact, oh my fucking God, dude. Look, I'm pretty sure you saw that in our chat group right there.
Oh, who's that? that looks like a Mormon missionary group engaged in no salacious behavior.
Oh
right?
My God.
These are the pinnacle. Whoever those two are, they are the bastion of what a good relationship should be.
Oh, we God. Both know. Okay, you know, let's just spill some tea real quick, okay, ladies and gentlemen. We're gonna fucking spill all the Lipton all over the place. Wavell Star is a piece of shit in my book. We all know why. I'm not gonna extend any more information as to why, but yeah, I'm actually in the chat group right now saying the same thing, Adam.
Oh my God!
Well, I had an idea. This mightn't be bad, and especially I don't mean it to sound.
Should we put him on the show?
Right? But theoretically speaking, right? If we could get a faction, right, of First Nation talent, right, and Indigenous people, would it or would it not be called, and they were dominant, right? Wouldn't it
a
be
Nation of Domination?
Nation of Domination Sensations. Just saying. Right? I mean,
oh, man.
Game. I'm just saying.
This is why we have you on the podcast, Adam. This is why we add you for the not just because you're the MMA specialist, not because you're the combat sports specialist, but because you bring the funny when it comes to Wavell Star, which, I mean, come on, think about it. That's his real name. His parents really hated him.
You know what? If I had a totem pole.
Oh, my God.
If I had a totem pole, I would name it something star. That's what I will say. At the top, I would have a star on top. Is that, and that may or may not concede with an aforementioned Wavell Star, but I'm just I think stars are meant to be in the sky, and that's where we shall put him in his rightful place.
You know, or I just gotta say this, man. He might, you know, deep down, he might be a nice guy. But you ever just see someone's face and want to punch them so bad?
All the time.
Like, doesn't his face scream, please punch me?
Oh, God.
It's like, please just punch me in the face several times.
That is a, man, you know what? I mean, with Bloodsport happening on February 13th,
you tell Saturday, Josh Burnett, if he can set that up, I will punch that guy in the face for free.
I mean, come on, Tony DeBurn, franchise player, bad blood, right? Double B. You're telling me that you wouldn't pay on the Bloodsport.watch website, Wavell Star entering in Bloodsport. You know, again, this is knockouts and submission only. You don't think the genetic jackhammer that Wavell Star is, right? You mean to tell me that you wouldn't want to see Wavell Star against Calder McCole?
The genetic jackhammer.
Wavell Star against Royce Isaacs.
Oh my God.
Tony's
on his car right now. He's like, take my money, please. He's like, hold my beer.
Take my money. Knows what's up. Again, the War Master Josh Burnett would be doing this all night long. That's a you get, sir.
I'm Josh not Burnett, saying you're too sweet right now.
War Master, but if I were, I'd say, yeah, you'd probably be like brewski buddies, whiskey buddies. You guys would probably shot for shot go with the War Master edition of Warbringer whiskey.
Well, I'll tell you this right now. Adam, you are the man who was good friends. You're really good friends, Josh Burnett. You tell Josh, we would love to have Wavell Star as part of Bloodsport 6. And we will... I swear to you right here, from everyone watching the podcast, everyone listening on Spotify, Google, Apple, Anchor, Radio, all our social media, all our podcasting apps, and where you can find podcasting, you can find us on all of these podcasting outlets. I will say it right here in front of everyone. I will promote, I will push the fuck out of the Bloodsport that has Wavell Star in it. Just for the simple fact that Wavell Star will probably get knocked the fuck out from anybody. I will put my money right there.
Oh, Gordon Woods everywhere, literally everywhere. But again, I'm subscribed to the BCW Worldwide Podcast on everything that they're on. The Twitch, the Instagram, literally every social media, everywhere that you can find this fine podcast, right? And again, I've never seen or heard Tony DeBurn smile so much. He gives so much to our community. It's a thankless job.
I am loving this. Make,
right? Ask him to make, right? So the fact that we could bring him some... not just joy, right, but amusement, because he is working so tirelessly. Again, twiddling the thing. There's computer boards clicking. Like, that's him. That's him. You can't see his hands, but that sound you hear, that's Tony DeBurn, right? He's working so hard to make sure that your entertainment dollar is absolutely verified. Or
exactly, not ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely. So, again, subscribe, because I know I am. I know I am. So be like According to Woods and go ahead and listen and subscribe to the BCW Worldwide Podcast on all platforms.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can subscribe to the Roundtable Podcast. I'm telling you. What? Travis Berry says, Adam doesn't come to birds. What? Oh, Raven. Raven. That's a Raven. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this is what we talk about. Look, so Adam, go ahead and run down the list of who is file. There it is. He's Pugly. Let's talk about the list of who is fighting in Bloodsport, and let's light it up, man. Let's get it out there, ladies and gentlemen. What we're going to do real quick is we're going to go to a commercial break while the animal cruelty happens, and we'll be right back.
Want to get your hair cut? You go get your hair cut right. You head down to Big D's Barbershop. Big D's Barbershop, Vancouver, Washington's best and brightest. 1019 Main Street, Vancouver, Washington, where you can go get your hair lined up, cuts, fades, shampoos, conditions, and all the great things that go with supporting a local barbershop in a local business area. You can also reach them online at www.bigdsbarbershop.com. Go get your haircut right.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. It looks like there's Adam. And Adam is just a blob of space. So, Adam, it looks like you're gone, my man. Well, we're going to go ahead and remove Adam from the group. And when Adam decides to come back, he can finish his conversation about the First Nation sensation, Wavell Star. Yeah. This nigga have a doesn't he have the most punchable fucking face you've ever seen?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. That's like, that's extremely punchable.
Yeah, man. And you know, comment big shout out to Ricky Fuji over in Japan, listening to us over in Japan, sure. Watching us over in Japan. Richard Hooper, welcome. And look, man. Yeah. Things are crazy in professional wrestling these days, man. But anyway, before we go, Tony, this conversation was brought to me by the sponsor of tonight's show, Big D's Barbershop.
Okay.
So, ladies and gentlemen, what would you think? What would you think if we decided to do a live remote from Big D's Barbershop in Vancouver? And since the world is starting to slowly open, what would you guys think about actually having a party, so to speak, at Big D's Barbershop in Vancouver? We're not talking about just a regular party where, you know, you come to this party, get a straight up haircut, amazing chop, you know, amazing haircut. You know, she lines you up with razor blades, straight razor, all that. She does shampoos, conditions, braids, all that cool shit, right? Imagine going to this party, getting that haircut, paying your whatever is, you know, $20, $25, entering your name into a hat. And at the end of the party, that name gets pulled out of a hat and you win $100. Not a gift card, straight up $100 cash.
Cash.
Smacker, simoleons, you know what I'm saying? Greenbacks, you know, cheese, cheddar, paper, you know what I'm saying? Get your bag. I mean, everything. What would you, I mean, would you guys be, would you guys like to do something like that? If so, hit us up in the comments, hit us up on the Facebook page in the messages. Let us know, hit me up in my DMs, man. And Shane, it doesn't mean slide my DMs like you're trying to do with Real Faith J. Don't slide up in my DMs, bro. We don't get down like that. But seriously, ladies and gentlemen, this is an opportunity for you to come meet some of your favorite wrestlers. And I know some of you guys have been like, oh, I miss you guys. Here's a chance. COVID precautions will be in effect. You will have to wear a mask. You will have to stay 6 feet from each other.
Yeah.
And you never know. Like, some of the guys might be there signing autographs. You might be able to take pictures with some of the championship belts. Come through, get a haircut. It's whatever. So, what do you guys think? Hit me up in the comments, and we'll go from there. And Adam Woods has rejoined us. And Adam, let's do this, Adam. Before we shut down shop for the night, let's go over the card. Let's talk about your picks to win. And let's go, man. Let's talk. Let's do it.
Man, okay. So I'm going to say, maybe this might be nepotistic of me, but everybody that's been on the According to Woods podcast, they're going to win. I just have a feeling.
Okay.
Right? Hey. Yes? So anybody that didn't respond to my DMs, they're going to lose. So.
Okay.
Y'all better slide in the DMs, ladies and gentlemen. Slide up in Adam's DMs.
Just saying, right? So this is a match of debuters. Diego Perez, who's a former teammate of mine at Fight Academy Pasadena, but that wasn't enough to respond to my humble request to have him on my podcast. But out of Vegas, I had to reach out to Vegas, the Extreme Couture strength and conditioning coach, literally handpicked by the natural Randy Couture, Gil Guardado. He answered the DMs and was on yesterday. So I'm picking Gil Guardado by submission over Diego Perez in the very first match.
Wow, you're going submission victory in the first match.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, it's knockout and submission. There's no pins. Oh, there's no countouts. Right? Absolutely. Again, we're going to see a vulgar display of power. And that power is going to be initiated rear naked choke on Diego Perez by Gil Guardado. Right? Man, so, okay. Absolutely. So, then in the next match, we have former NWA tag team champion and Defy tag team champion, one half of the West Coast Wrecking Crew, run Royce Isaac, is going to knock out the Scotsman, Calder McCole.
That's right. My money is on Royce. I told him earlier today when I was watching the podcast, I hit him up. I said, hey, man, my money is on you. And he says, cool, thanks, bro. And I'm like, your birthday was 2 days ago. This is your birthday. This is your birthday present. You get to knock a motherfucker out. So there you go.
Yep.
I like it.
I like it. And again, this is somebody, like Bad Blood, has NWA championship experience and championship literal gold behind him. So again, he knows what it takes to win. And he knows how to pick a winner. So again, this is a consensus pick, and we're going with Royce Isaacs.
Yes, we are.
Heck yeah. So, in the next fight, the third fight, we have Super Beast out of Las Vegas against Bad Dude Tito, who is making his Josh Barnett Bloodsport debut. And this
Don't tell me what you think yet. I gotta say this.
Okay.
I'm friends with both Tito and Super Beast.
Yes.
And both of those guys, this is gonna be a fucking hoss fight, man. Yeah, people are gonna get beat up pretty bad. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, the man named Tito, man, he's a Santino Brothers Academy, you know, graduate, man. I've been in the ring with him. He's fucking tough. He's strong. He's a beast. But I've also been in the ring with Super Beast, and he's exactly what his name is, a fucking beast. So, in my opinion, hoss fight of the night, baby.
I couldn't agree with you more. So I want to ask you guys, right? What do you think? Super Beast, Bad Dude Tito, there's no ropes in the ring of Bloodsport. No ropes at all, right? And it's knockout and submission only. So, Tony DeBurn, let's go with you first. Who do you have? And how does it get finished? Super Beast versus Bad Dude Tito.
Damn.
I think I'm going to have to lean Super Beast on this one.
I'm leaning
Super Beast. I think he's going to knock Tito out. I think he's going to knock him. I think it's probably going to go a little bit, but it's going to end in a knockout.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Bad Blood. Double B. What you got, bro?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, fuck, man. I don't know. I mean, Jesus Christ. Like, that's going to be like a big ass hoss fight, man. Like, you ever just see two big ass dudes beat the holy piss out of each other, and you're just like, these guys are beating up each other so bad that you can't even pick a winner.
Oh, you're talking about like, my dream match of all time. Right,
that's going to be the best. Those are the best ones.
Yes. I mean, like
Dante. Rock, paper, scissor all day.
That's El Gigante versus the Great Khali.
Oh, in my God.
In a Punjabi prison match at WrestleMania 9. That's what it is. That's my dream match. Right?
Oh, my God.
That's a technical wrestling clinic. Yes. It's a technical wrestling clinic. I'm just saying. Yeah. Let's go, pal. Ah, this is good shit.
That's gross. That's so gross. I'm doing the podcast. That's gross.
No. So come on. What you got?
No. Shit.
He literally switched positions. That's a hell of a deal.
I left the podcast. I couldn't take it, bro. I could not take the podcast. I could not take it anymore. I could not take it.
That's a hell of a deal, so scary.
Oh my God.
What a maneuver.
It was so
what
scary.
A maneuver, this guy.
Oh, what a maneuver. Back, buddy drop.
No, okay, so I'm going to say Bad Dude Tito with a suplex to knock out Super Beast.
Okay.
All
right. He's going to give him a fucking dragon suplex or something, knock him out. Ooh. Head trauma. Unless it doesn't go to a draw, right?
Yeah.
Can it go to a draw?
I mean, no, theoretically speaking, but I mean, if you double KO somebody, I would say that, which I mean, that's a little bit of an allusion to my pick of the main event, but go ahead.
Okay, yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and say Bad Dude Tito wins.
Okay.
Ooh, and by how?
He's going to win, but you know what? Fuck it. Tito's been doing a lot of jiu-jitsu, so I'm going to say a rear naked choke.
Okay.
Ooh. Okay. I actually like that.
I talked to Tito yesterday. And we were talking about him coming on the podcast, and he's like, I'm training so hard for this blood sport. I don't have time for it this week. Let's do it next week before the next blood sport. So this man is training like 6 days a week, like 5-6 hours a day. So, I mean, yeah.
I like it. No, I like it. I'm not going to pick against you, good sir. It pains me. It literally is a wrench in my heart. There's a space in my heart for you, Tony DeBurn, that I'm going against you. But I am going to go with BJ's pick, Bad Blood's pick in Bad Dude Tito by submission.
No, that's fair.
Well, man, Tito, I'm telling you, man, Tito's a beast, bro.
I know.
He's a bad dude. He's one bad dude.
I had to think about it for a bit before I actually went with Super Beast. I guess it's more familiarity with Super Beast than anything else.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Tito is B-A-double-D bad.
Yeah.
Man.
No.
Okay, so what's the next match?
So we have this one. My heart is just kind of like split in two directions because we have the one and only J.R. Kratos, the God of War.
Oh, shit, the God of War.
Against New Japan's Young Lion, New Japan LA Dojo's Young Lion in Alex Coughlin. Yes. Oh, my God. Just look at the Instagram of one Alex Coughlin and just see what that guy is. I mean, how put together he is, one, hashtag body guy, but also the maneuvers that he's been able to hone and craft at the New Japan LA Dojo.
Okay, so as a dojo guy, as a New Japan Dojo graduate guy, I got to go Alex. I gotta go to Alex. I know the training in the dojo. I know how they beat you into submission. How you become like you go there good, you come out 10 times better. Like that's how good the training is. No knock on Kratos. I mean, come on, dude. Fuck the God of War, man. But
yes,
I gotta go Coughlin, man.
Okay.
So
how's it happening?
Well, I mean, it's New Japan, so it's gonna be a submission.
Okay. All right.
And all right, Tony DeBrus is gonna not want to submit. Maybe he's not gonna want to tap out, but
he might go out.
The New Japan dojo training, man. Either you're gonna get tapped or you're gonna get napped.
Yeah. Ooh, couldn't have said it any better myself. So Tony DeBrus, what do we got, my man?
So this is an interesting one because, I mean, you have this is a pretty considerable size difference between these two. Kratos has got, about 70, 80 pounds on Alex Coughlin. So you have to keep that in mind. But also, I think the factor that we're kind of overlooking here is that this is effectively a New Japan versus All Japan fight.
Kratos, yes, it is.
Kratos
has
been over in All Japan just recently and had a successful tour. So that adds another dimension to this fight. And man, Coughlin's a tough, real tough motherfucker. And J.R. Kratos, I mean, he's been wrestling around the NorCal area. I mean, he was a protege and tag team partner of Timothy Thatcher.
Yes. So,
man.
And Jeff Cobb.
Cobb, yeah, that catches catch can wrestling.
Yeah, so man, I gotta say, if it comes down to striking, I think Kratos will knock him out. But I'm kind of leaning in direction of Alex Coughlin on this one. But again, with a big caveat, if it does become a striking match, Kratos is just going to knock him clean out. But I think
he does have some big ass hands, you know.
Yeah.
Unlike Braun Strowman, he does give you those hands.
No, 100%. 100%. Those are some hammocks.
Man.
Yeah, Double B, what do you got?
Man, like I said, Alex Coughlin with a submission.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Ooh.
He's gonna nap or tap, one or the other. It's got to end. You know, it might go to the last minute. Like we might have one of those surprise roll up finishes. You never know.
Yeah. All right. So I am going to pick against the gallery, and I'm going to go with Kratos. I mean, obviously, you know, I love how you guys pointed out the caveats. I love Tony DeBrus saying that, yes, this is essentially an All Japan versus New Japan. This is King's Road style versus Strong style. This is what we got here, right? So with that all being said, I just think, like, power. I mean, we're not in biblical days, right? And here's the thing. Most people forget, right? I mean, you're talking about biblical in terms of David and Goliath and everything like that. But, like, not all the times do the Davids win. Not all of the times, right? So with that all being said, one caveat with Kratos is he's actually rolled, much like a couple of other people on this card and previous incarnations of Bloodsport, he's actually rolled with the one and only Josh Barnett.
Oh, really?
So, yes, he has.
That's what makes it an even more tough decision for me to pick Alex Coughlin in this case.
So I'm going to say it's – ooh, and this one, in terms of how it finishes, because we saw Kratos at the Bloodsport – I want to say it was Bloodsport 2 back on WrestleMania weekend when they were still doing that thing on the East Coast, right? We saw a crazy – for a guy Kratos' size, a crazy Superman punch down to a downed Eric Hammer, a former catch wrestling world champion, right? So he can knock you out, but he can also submit you too. And he's gotten rounds. Like, we're talking 6-minute rounds with Josh Barnett, Davey Boy Smith, Jeff Cobb, and Timothy Thatcher. That's what Kratos is bringing to the table. For a guy his size to last 6 minutes? Oh, my goodness. So I'm going Kratos by submission.
Fair enough.
Damn, that's yeah, fair enough. Man, you made a good point.
Yeah. All right, yes. What do we got next?
We have one and only Grizzly Cal Jack. You might know him from previous incarnations in WWE NXT,
yep.
But he is facing the almost unheard of, the dark horse in Nolan Edwards. And Nolan Edwards reminds me of a young Sterling James Keehan. And if you don't know that name, you might have thought, like, I played around.
What's his name? Isn't he Carmella's boyfriend?
Corey Graves. Corey Graves, absolutely. And I thought you were like that. I would have twisted the words of Maynard James Keehan of Tool's name around. No, yeah. Again, look in your PWIs, your Pro Wrestling Illustrated, your Aftermags, and yes, that name circa around 2003 to 2008. Yeah, that name was in there.
No, I
find NXT.
Shirley Doe, yes. who ran that promotion out in Pittsburgh that Sterling James was a part of. I'm well versed.
Yes, absolutely. So Nolan Edward, if you Google him, put him in the Google machine, he will remind you a bit of one Corey Graves in a previous incarnation. But that punk rock style and what have you, you're going up against the Grizzly, right? And this is just not a moniker. He is equal parts collegiate athlete extraordinaire and equal parts Bear Grylls going out into the woods. And that headdress that he wears, he actually went out into the woods and killed a bear and came back with its skin.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. Like when you killed a bear, man, like a fucking grizzly. Like.
That's right.
I mean, that's a la Khabib Nurmagomedov. That's a la Stu Hart, right? That's what got me into wrestling, right, was Stu Hart stretching and put a sugar hold on every athlete of every sport. Right, and even one time of the year during the Calgary Stampede, he put to sleep a wrestling bear when that one wanted to go over. Right, so I'm just saying, right, the Grizzly Cal Jack, and here's another caveat: Cal Jack's father has wins over none other than, again, you want to talk about All Japan? All Japan legend, the legendary Dr. Death, Steve Williams, one half of the Miracle Violence Connection. And Cal Jack's father actually has a collegiate win over him, trained with none other than Gary Albright, an honorary. Ooh, I mean, he married into the Anoa'i family, right? So that is what Cal Jack brings to the table. So
the fact that you said Gary Albright brings back memories, man. Yes. Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yes. Right, and here's Cal Jack. He has competed in Bloodsport's past, right? The Bloodsport 3, but he's yet to win a victory. For somebody that has been won and competed in Pac-10 tournaments in wrestling, whose dad has wins and trained with a lot of UFC Hall of Famers such as Dan the Beast Severn, right? I say it's Cal Jack by. It's going to be, we talk about suplex submissions, right? I mean, suplex knockouts, a la Takeshi Morishima, backdrop suplex. Cal Jack, absolutely, because here's the deal. He wins. You can't tell Cal Jack that wins and losses do not matter. He knows about what wins and losses do, especially on the collegiate scene. And he, imagine he has to answer to his dad that he lost another blood sport.
Not this week.
No,
not today.
No. Not today.
And then Bloodsport. I agree.
Okay, we say Cal Jack. Okay, what's the next one? Simon Grimm and Tom Lawler.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And again, Tom Lawler has competed in almost every incarnation of Bloodsport, even dating back to Matt Riddle's kind of, you know, pre-WWE existence, right?
Yeah,
he's competed. I want to say he's competed. Right. So this is, I want to say that Tom Lawler, I mean, your audience and probably Tony DeBrun will probably refute me, but he's competed in more Bloodsports than even Josh Barnett himself, right?
I think you're right, actually.
I think you're right.
So this is somebody who's a grizzled vet, not only of the UFC, not only is he a former MLW world champion, world heavyweight champion, like the majordomo of Team Filthy in MLW. Now he's going up against his stablemate, the former NXT world tag team champion in Simon Grimm.
Let me put you this way. Simon Grimm has been around some of the most sick and sadistic fucking people in the industry. We're talking Jimmy God of Death, Funny Bone. We're talking fucking, you know, Tyler Bateman. I mean, dude, come on. Okay, I've watched this guy stretch people, bro. Stretch the fuck out of people. I've been stretched by this guy. I'm telling you, I'm a tough dude. I'm a tough motherfucker. I'll tell you that. But this guy is double tough. Like, I'm serious. Submission style. I would die to see this guy, Simon Grimm, in a straight up one on one submission match with Daniel Bryan. Simon Grimm, his style is Daniel Bryan's style. They would totally have a killer fucking match. You know, and even back in the day when he was Ryan Drago, part of Violence Unlimited, he wore the fucking plain trunks, the plain boots, and just stretched the fuck out of people. Tom Lawler's okay. He's really good. Mm-hmm. But Simon Grimm's gonna tap him the fuck out.
Yeah. Tony DeBrun, what say you, good sir?
So I've actually seen these two in a pro wrestling match for a promotion here in the area called Prestige. Yeah. So I've already seen these two go at it.
They're really not that prestigious, though, ladies and gentlemen. Prestige wrestling is not that prestigious. Just saying.
No, it isn't. But, so, I love Simon Grimm. Dude is absolutely amazing. And I have all the respect in the world for Tom Lawler. So, that makes this decision even more difficult. So I gotta pick Simon Grimm in this fight. I gotta pick him. And I'm leaning
ever so slightly.
Slowly I turn inch by inch. You know the deal.
D-bar or it's going to be a leg submission, I think, that's going to put him out.
Maybe a knee bar. You might be right.
Knee bar, yeah. Achilles hold, something to that effect.
No, I like it. I like it. But here's the deal. Just like you said, Tony DeBrun, they wrestled right before your eyes at none other than Prestige out there in the Pacific Northwest, right? But here's a caveat. Here's a caveat that I'm going to introduce, right?
Okay.
Have you guys worked a job where your boss might have been ornery, might have been a fucking asshole, right? I mean, that's why we got into Stone Cold, right? Yeah. Like, because he like literally beat the shit out of his boss. We all wanted to live vicariously, and were living vicariously, of the Texas Rattlesnake during that time, right? Right?
True.
Okay. So, yeah, Simon Grimm was a hired hand of one Tom Lawler, right? The right of the throne, literally, to Team Filthy, right? Before he joined Contra Union. Don't you think, again, and the way you saw it, Tony DeBrun, there was ropes, there was pins, there was all of that, there was countouts and everything like that. There were ropes, right? Yeah. That's not going to be the case. And I think Simon Grimm is coming off of a win, his very first win in Bloodsport, at Bloodsport 3 out in Indiana, right? That happened back in 2020, right? As a part of the GCW collective. I think he's going to ride that momentum paired with like a wine and cheese variation, paired with that chip on his shoulder that has grown ever so slightly till it's an 800-pound albatross on his back. And he wants to show Tom Lawler what's what in Tom Lawler's pre-wrestling environment. So I'm going to say that Simon Grimm beats Tom Lawler by knockout.
Okay.
Knockout.
Knockout. I like it.
There you go.
Very nice.
There you go. Now, in terms of knockouts and submissions, I really don't know how this is going to go, because you have the monster of a man, Calvin Tankman, the Tank, and he's going against Catch Wrestling Impresario, son of the legendary British Bulldog. He is going up against Davey Boy Smith Jr., a former WWE Tag Team Champion in his own right. He won't tell you that, but he is. I mean, an IWGP Tag Team Champion with none other than Lance Archer, right?
That's right.
So, I don't know. I want to hear your guys' take, because I don't know how this thing...
Calvin Tankman's a big fucking dude, man.
Yes, he is.
How can you suplex him?
Man. But Harry Smith is a pretty fucking big dude, too.
Yes, he is.
Shit. All these big hoss fights, man. Like, I don't know who to call. Like with this fight and then the main event, like, I don't know which... Fuck, man. As much as I hate to say it, because I'm a Hart family guy, I'm a pure wrestling guy, but Calvin Tankman's going to beat the shit out of Harry Smith. Fuck. Because there's no way Harry can get around his size.
Yeah. And low center of gravity. Yeah. That too. So don't think that there's going to be a suplex that's going to happen administered by Davey Boy Smith Jr. against Tankman.
Legit Calvin Tankman looks like a fucking tank. Let's just call it.
Mm-hmm.
He does. Mm-hmm. He really does.
Well, so what do you think, Tony?
So this is going to come off a little bit arrogant and possibly even might even sound a little bit weird, but this is going to be the easiest fight of the night for me to call. Tankman's going to destroy him. Calvin Tankman is going to obliterate Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Fuck. Okay, Adam. Balls in your court, Mr. MMA, Mr. Combat Sports.
Oh, man. I don't feel like I'm in Colorado right now. That's the usual time that I'm at. Used to having balls in my court. I'm not feasting in Rocky Mountain oysters, but I will say,
oh my God.
I'm not. I might have seen a Vice documentary about, you know,
yeah.
What is it? Rocky Mountain oysters and what have you, right?
Like, exactly.
So that's the last time I've had balls in my court. But with all that being said, not that there's anything wrong with that. If that's a you choose to do in your free time, right on.
In your free kudos. Time.
equality, right? But, yes, there you go. Bam, there it is. So, I'm actually going to go with Tony DeBurn. I mean, here's the thing. With the amount of battles, New Japan battles and what have you, that Davey Boy Smith has been in, right? The amount of catch wrestling, you know, training that not just with Josh Barnett, not just with Tom Lawler, not just with Dave Bautista out in Tampa, right, at the Gracie affiliate that Dave Bautista owns, right? But also by the late, great Billy Robinson. Oh, we forget that Harry has more training under Billy Robinson than he did with his dad. This guy, Carl Gotch and Billy Robinson, that's what we're saying. He is direct descended from that. But because of that, Bad Blood, you know what those wars can take a toll on your body, right? Yeah. A taxing toll. So I think that's enough leverage because, you know, Davey Boy Smith Jr., of course, he's a big hoss. He's a catch wrestling aficionado. But his chin may not be. Even though he's a young guy, may not be where it used to be. So I say Calvin Tankman by knockout.
Oh, yep. Shit.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to last very long either, to be honest.
No, that's the thing, too. It's not going to last that long. Now, the match that I've been waiting for.
Yes.
Big Jeff Cobb, a friend of the channel, friend of BCW Worldwide. Good dude all around.
Yep.
And Chris Dickinson.
Okay. Dirty Daddy.
look, here's the thing. Chris Dickinson is an amazing wrestler.
He is.
If he stopped sticking his fucking tongue out of his mouth, I'd be satisfied with him. girls do that shit on Instagram and they think it's hot. It's not. You look like a fucking idiot. Chris Dickinson, you're a big ass fucking dude. You're a rock. You're a big ass mountain of muscle. Please stop sticking your fucking tongue out, man. Please. Jesus fuck. No one can take you seriously when you're like, constantly. Like, shut the fuck up. Just beat the shit out of someone and keep your tongue in your mouth. That's just my piece. But Jeff Cobb, that tour of the islands, that Jeff Cobb is a fucking Olympic wrestler.
He is.
I mean, didn't he win like a silver medal or some shit or bronze or?
Yeah, he's been to Worlds. He's been to the Goodwill Games. Like a litany of amazing. He was on the Olympic team.
He was in the Olympic team for Guam. Yeah.
Yep. Right, with none other than
ladies and gentlemen.
He's teammates with Daniel Cormier, literally on that U.S. Olympic team.
Now, what you guys don't understand, man, ladies and gentlemen, is that he's a professional wrestler. He's also a world-renowned amateur wrestler, two-time Olympian, like fucking a mountain of a man who is, in my opinion, he is a true king of suplexes. Chris Dickinson, tough guy, professional wrestler, tough guy. But in my opinion, Jeff Cobb is going to murder Chris Dickinson.
Ooh.
Straight up. Chris Dickinson's gonna get on that fucking mat, stick his tongue out. Cobb's gonna grab him, belly suplex his ass like six times. give him the tour of the islands twice, you know. Power bomb is, I don't give a fuck, but Jeff Cobb is going to murder him. I mean, if it was anyone else, Chris Dickinson might be able to, you know. I'm going to say this. Jeff Cobb by knockout.
Mm.
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And by this, by no means, I'm by no means calling Chris Dickinson weak or a bitch or anything like that, because he is a tough ass individual. Very talented professional wrestler. From what I understand, from a lot of mutual friends, a really good dude. But he's no Jeff Cobb. I'm sorry. He is no Jeff Cobb. And I'm calling it Jeff Cobb. 5 minutes knockout.
Hmm. Tony DeBrun?
I'm going to partially agree here. Jeff Cobb, I think, is going to take this one, but I'm going to give Chris Dickinson a little more credit. I think this will go a little bit longer than 5 minutes, but in the end, the result's going to be the same. He's going to get knocked out by Jeff Cobb.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be the Dirty Daddy by submission. And here's why. Because Jeff Cobb, this is fact. Right after Bloodsport, he's going to compete in an arduous, taxing on the body tour of Japan. He's going straight from LA, from LAX to Tokyo, right?
Oh, 16 hours. Oh my God.
Yes, absolutely. So do you think that you're going to rest your and heal your body? And not to say that the prize, the ticket window, the pay window of Bloodsport is paltry. No, I'm not saying that at all, right? And I'm sure that Jeff Cobb would want it in the baseball magazines of Japan, because that's what wrestling magazines are. There's the one other magazine and the baseball magazine, right? He wants it. Hey, coming for of New Japan, right? He wants that win, but he's going to overlook it, almost like one. Oh, Chris White. Right? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Not Chris Wyman. He used to trade with DC. Luke Rockhold. Luke Rockhold at UFC 199. Overlooked a grizzled Michael Bisping, the Count, now UFC commentator, right? And Bisping took the fight on a week's notice, but he was ripped, ready to go, right? And that's where I feel in this particular scenario, right? Chris Dickinson is the one and only Michael Bisping, right? I'm just saying, just in this scenario, follow me for a bit, right? I think that Jeff Cobb, he's going to have, again, at the very least, a two-week tour of Japan, right? He's thinking about all of the people from Chaos, all of the people from Bullet Club, and all of the other factions. Oh, yeah. I mean, Los Ingobernables, de Japón, right? So with that all being said,
let's just call him L.I.J.
Right. So here's the thing. I think that is going to be the thing that is going to be a little bit of an opening. And again, if anybody watches any type of combat sports, they know from a knockout submission, it's literally like increments of a millimeter, right? A millimeter, a centimeter. That so could mean greatness and certain death.
So you're saying that Cobb is overlooking Dickinson. He's already, like, he's physically at Bloodsport, but mentally he's already in New Japan.
He's already there?
That could be the downfall of Jeff Cobb. That right there will cause a loss right away. Me, as a professional athlete, as a professional wrestler who is traveling around the country, my thoughts are always where I'm at when I'm there, not what I'm doing next week or what I'm doing the week after. Because when you slip and you start thinking about other things, you get your eye off the prize.
That's right.
And that prize is an eventual shot at the Bloodsport Championship against the First Nation sensation, Wavell Star.
God damn it. I knew you were going to do that. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us here on the Roundtable Podcast. This is for your boy, According to Woods, my boy, Tony DeBurns, and I am the franchise. And fuck Wavell Star, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good night.